Cape Talk.
DIY.
Now then, there can be few things as satisfying as pulling off a successful do-it-yourself project at home. Amy, stop laughing. There's just something hugely satisfying, isn't there, about fixing, mending, updating, or creating something with your own two hands in your own home. Whether you're a dab hand at making your own scatter cushions, or if you fixed a faulty microwave, or even installed a simple grey water system on your property, this segment is all about helping you invest your time and energy, not money, to create a beautiful home. And our resident DIY guru, Angelo D'Ambrosio, joins us in studio once again to take your questions on your very own home DIY challenges and successes. Welcome, Angelo.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Nice to meet you too. So just a reminder then, today's segment is focused on all your general DIY queries. If you want to get your issue explained on air, please do call in now on 021-446-0567. You can send a WhatsApp, a text or voice note to 072-5671-567. Right, let's get straight into it. Homework. I believe that you've had some homework on stains and sealing of bamboo floors. Sealing of bamboo floors?
Yes.
A bamboo floor sounds quite a posh thing in and of itself.
Well, bamboo floors are actually very good. They're great, actually.
Are they?
And, they've got a lot of benefits to having bamboo floors. And, of course, the sealing of them is part of that. So you could use, for example, a twin pack or a single pack polyurethane, which is a product that sort of leaves a nice gloss finish
that
on
sheen.
It looks like you've got a mirror on your or a layer of glass on your floor. The problem with that, of course, is when you are walking in a particular path all the time. So you go from your bedroom to your kitchen, you walk the same way. It eventually wears down, and you need to recoat it.
Mm.
Whereas another option is an oil, Rubio. If I recall the name, Rubio oil, and that's a product that you can get from the supplier, and you brush apply the oil on, and then eventually you would need to redo that again. All these floor coatings need to be maintained. So once you're doing that, you need to understand that maintenance becomes involved. It's not like something you can just do once and say, right, I'm not touching it forever and a day. It doesn't work like that.
So how many coats would you need to do then?
Well, generally with polyurethane, you would use between 2 and 3. And with the oil, it's generally a saturation coat.
And how long can you then not walk on your floors?
Well,
or get little feet on your floors or paws on your floors.
The polyurethane, some of the polyurethane, the single packs dry a lot quicker. Normally the terps-based ones, they dry quite quickly. You could actually do 2 coats in a day. But the twin packs take a little bit longer because they need to cure, and there's a flash-off period, and they need to cure. So they take about up to 4 to 5 days to actually cure. They're walkable the next day, but they haven't cured. And there's a difference.
Okay.
The difference is when it flashes off, so the solvent evaporates, it's hard enough for you to walk on. But if you put furniture down and you drag it, it's going to scratch a lot easier than what it would have done once it's fully cured.
Okay. So getting from one, if the bathroom's at the other end of the room, you can cross, but don't start having a dinner party for 8.
No.
No.
Not yet.
Okay, fair enough. Listen, we were joined in studio by Angelo, and we're taking your DIY calls and queries. Do please give us a call with your questions. Perhaps you want to just boast and say that you've done something marvellous. I would. 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. Or you can get us on the WhatsApp, which is 072-5671-567. Or, of course, the SMS line, which is 31567. We've had an email in from Miranda, who says, I've just moved into an old house in which the living room has been wallpapered. Can I paint directly over it, or do I have to remove the old paper first? And what about the glue underneath it? I also want to repaint the rest of the house, but don't know whether the paint is enamel or water-based. Please help. Thank you, Miranda, for that.
A lot of questions.
That's a lot of questions. So we're starting with the living room, which has been wallpapered. Can you paint directly over wallpaper?
Yes, you can. But there's a big but.
Yes.
Okay. So wallpaper, first of all, you need to look at the type of wallpaper that you have.
Mm.
Okay. Secondly, is it peeling at the seams? Because that comes through when you paint. Okay. And if you are going to decide that you want to paint it, then you need to use a solvent-based primer, and then you use your top coat, a water-based top coat over that. It's preferable to using a water-based coating directly on, because the water-based coating moistens back the wallpaper and you could have a problem.
Mm.
Okay. However, when you look at a wallpaper, there's a lot of things you need to look at. So if you want to paint, but you always generally get a better finish once you've removed the wallpaper.
Ooh,
okay.
That is not what Miranda wants to hear. Go on.
So the decision is, what do you want to do in the future? Because some wallpapers have designs on, and some designs are more prevalent than others. So when you coat it, you see that. But in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, that design might be boring or old-fashioned. So you're going to come back and remove the wallpaper anyway. Mm. And it's always a little bit harder to take off wallpaper that's been painted.
What is your top tip for removing wallpaper? Because if I would never get to the end of the show if I told you about my wallpaper removing horrors.
Okay. Strips at a time. Wallpaper is laid in strips. Mm. So remove a strip at a time. Okay. And then...
But it doesn't want to come off a strip at a time, Angelo.
There are products that you can buy that you add with water, and they soften back the wallpaper and the glue.
All that glue.
Yeah,
glue. I've done myself a mischief trying to remove that glue in times gone by. Let's take a quick call from Werner in Cape Town. Hi, Werner.
Hi there.
Hi, Werner.
What's your question?
I have a granite top in a kitchen which has got sort of discolored or murky on the surface of it. I don't know whether it's been scratched or there's been a solvent put onto it. And I was just wondering how I could buff it back up again.
Okay, so the granite tops are they're fairly resilient to that sort of thing. So there's got to have been something quite strong that has created this stain. You could try cleaning it with a bit of lemon. Lemon works, right. Or even some vinegar if you've got. Just remember, granite, even though it looks really smooth, is still a little bit porous. So things can sit. So try and clean it and with the vinegar or lemon. Otherwise, stick to a chemical that can clean. And then you might want to try just sort of buffing it up slightly. I'm not sure if you have that sort of equipment at home. But
how would one buff it up?
Well, you see, to me, what I would do is simply take a small angle grinder and a buffer. And just give it a once over with the buff. I wouldn't put anything onto it. I prefer to leave the granite as it stands. However, the stain you need to try and remove beforehand. The buff will just bring it back to life, but the stain you're going to need to try and remove with either some vinegar or as I said. Lemon.
Mm.
If it doesn't work, you can try this, because I've been looking at this quite a lot. A lot of people use toothpaste because it's slightly abrasive.
Ah, yes.
And it gets in, and with a toothbrush and a little bit of toothpaste, you might be able to remove that stain, especially if it's slightly ingrained. But always do it on a piece where it's not visible. So if there is something that's going on, it's you don't really see it if there is a reaction. Does that help?
Are these Italian imported marble tops?
They are, unfortunately, yes.
Are they? In that case, can I suggest caution with any type of angle grinder? Please. Yeah. So that you don't then phone us back and we're having to pay the cost for your Italian marble tops.
What you can do is, if you've got a drill, because generally people don't have small sort of angle grinders, DIY angle grinders. If you've got a drill, you can get a connection for the drill that you put in and it a buffing connection. You can do that as well.
Verena, are you there?
I think we've lost.
There we go. There's Verna. Hopefully that will help you out, sir. Let's go to Ron in Belleville, who has a question about marble tops. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. I was just listening to a description on how to get stains out of granite tops. I'm actually in the business, and I must just strongly advise against using anything that might be acidic, whatever it is, lemon juice particularly, or anything that is alkaline, because it can damage granite. and it will etch into granite. If you want to do a test on a granite, just take a bit of lemon juice and put it in a little spot in a corner somewhere, and you'll see the whole texture will change as it actually etches into the stone itself. So whatever you do, don't try and clean it with anything that is not pH neutral.
Is there a product that you favour, Ron?
Well, once it's etched, in 99% of the cases, you've got to machine it out. You actually have to hone the surface. And one does that with diamond discs, and it's not something that the person can generally do at home. It is a specialist procedure. So sometimes it's often better to live with the marks on the stone and not try and fix it, because fixing can be an expensive exercise.
Yeah, as I said, it's always best to try a little bit of on the side and out of a, you know, out of the way, where you don't really see what damage it can, if there is damage, whatever reaction. I wasn't insinuating that he needs to leave the lemon juice on there, but rather, or the vinegar, rather just take a little bit and rub it on and see where we, and see what happens with it, because those products tend to remove stains fairly quickly.
There we are. Thank you. Go ahead, Ron.
I agree with that, but certainly not in granite. If you take vinegar or lemon juice, even for a very short period of time, a matter of seconds, you can damage your granite surfaces.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
Very, very, very careful. That applies to most natural stones. Certainly, yeah. Marble especially, as well, is also very sensitive to that type of thing.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Let's go to a voice note now. Voice note now. Let's see if we can go to there.
Hi, g'day, Nolan here. Regarding the stain on the gunite tabletop, toothpaste helps, but the problem with toothpaste is when you finish, you have to rinse. And regarding our water crisis, I wouldn't advise it. Anyway, have a good day. Cheers, eh? Bye-bye.
There we go. Thank you, Nolan, for that. We've had a message in on the WhatsApp saying, what's the best way to paint Vibracrete? Do I need to power jet it clean first? And how do I do that in water restrictions? Well, I guess the answer to that would be you don't. Well, what is the best way to paint Vibracrete?
Well, it's a standard.
What is Vibracrete?
It's a wall, precast wall.
Yeah.
That they put in the columns, and then they slot the sort of wall section in between them, and they plaster it up on the side so that it stays, and it's got little, it looks like little steps.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Vibracrete. Okay. It's precast. It's made out of concrete and cement. Concrete. And then, so what you would do is you would treat it like a new wall. You would use a primer and you would use a normal top coat. However, you're painting one side.
Yeah.
If the other side's not painted, masonry substrates absorb water, and if they absorb water, it could affect the coating on the other side. So you need to be very aware of that. I would not paint it if the other side isn't painted, because you could eventually have delamination of your coating.
Right. Okay. But certainly no need to power jet it clean first.
Well, no. It depends how old it is. If it's an old wall that's dirty, you would need to clean it. Now, just remember, if you had to take 10 square meters and clean it with a hose pipe, and 10 square meters and clean it with a machine, you use a lot less water with the machine. And the reason for it is because of the power and the rotating nozzle, it cleans up areas a lot quicker than water can, just on its own. So you use a lot less water. The question is, and this is the big question, is morally, do you feel right using water to clean
to
a wall?
Yeah.
Okay. It uses less water, but do you feel right using the machine?
Well, I know what my answer would be to that. but thank you for your message. I hope that's helped. WhatsApp, a message on the WhatsApp for about engineered tops. I've had rings left from pickled fish sauce. Couldn't polish it out, but used thick bleach only in the affected area, about 10 minutes and sorted. Thick bleach.
You know, this. There are many ways of cleaning
There's
things.
More than one way to skin a cat.
So, you know, the systems that are out there, you would need to do a little bit of research and look at it. And yes, the gentleman did say that leaving anything acidic on there would create a problem.
Mm.
So I've never had that. So, you know, I've put on, taken off quite quickly. But there's various grades of everything, and again, they get affected differently.
Mm.
So always, whatever you do, try it in a spot where if it does create problems, you don't see it.
Here's a potentially stupid question. Although there are no stupid questions, so they say, can you not get some kind of sealant in the way that you might seal a floor, or you might, you know, get a sealant for your car? Is there no sort of, no, you're looking at me like, SJ, stop right there. Stop right there, lady. No sort of sealant that would protect from, I mean, presumably not chips, but stains.
There are sealants for natural products.
Right.
Yes, you can. And you would get those type of sealants from manufacturers.
Okay.
So, for example, for travertine floors, et cetera, there are sealants that you can use. So, yes, they are sealants.
Mm.
But, you know, these stains are generally there because something has spilt and gone through, or the sealant has sort of, over the years, just sort of disappeared. You know, because if you don't keep maintaining things, you will have a problem.
There is still time to get your questions, your calls in to Angelo. We're talking DIY, of course. The number to dial, 021-446-0567, if you have a question. Or you can send us a message on the SMS line, 31567, or, of course, the WhatsApp, 072-5671-567. A message in on the line from Clarani saying, my dishwasher is leaking from the rear of the main circulating pump. I can't afford a new dishwasher right now, but how can I fix this? Thank you, Clarne, for your question.
Okay. I would not recommend that he try and fix it himself. Okay.
Right.
You can phone the manufacturer and they send out people who will come and give you a quote to fix it.
Mm.
Okay. But they charge to come out as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to be aware of that. There's a call-out fee and then there's the fee to replace that. It's not something I think you should do at home, or unless you have experience in that type of thing. Okay, what I would do, however, is just make sure that everything is sealed, that there isn't a place where water can come out. Sort of, I'm not talking about the actual pump, I'm talking about all his connections. Just make sure that the water isn't coming from there before you go and get someone out and have to pay 500 or 600 rand, whatever the case might be, before you get your quote.
Okay. There we go, Kalani. Hopefully that will that's helped you out somewhat. Essentially, don't do it yourself. Don't DIY in that instance.
You would need to buy the part anyway. So, you know, the pump is a sealed unit, so you would need to buy the part.
Okay, sure. Do still get your messages in. There's a few minutes left if you would like to ask Angelo something. 021-446-0567. And do as Louise has done from Parklands. Hi, Louise.
Hello. I just want to know why there isn't anybody who's invented taking, when you work with Vic or this Mestos and you get a spot on your clothing, then you may as well throw that clothing away.
So, have you fallen foul of the jick on the clothing, Louise?
Yes, you know, suddenly you get a spot and you look, oh my dear, there's a big white spot on my best blouse or my best pants, and you can't do anything about it.
Or can you, Angelo? No. Angelo's raising his hands to heaven. No idea. But you're absolutely right, Louise, isn't it? It's so frustrating. And do you know what I find is that sometimes you don't even notice it's happened until you then go to readorn yourself with that garment and you happen to notice a few telltale spots. Hugely infuriating.
I did the dishes for my daughter as a favour and I had my best blouse on. Mm. And I didn't realise her cloths had dick in them. And the next thing I looked down and I had this dick all on my good blouse.
Oh,
my
new blouse.
So I used it as a duster.
Louise, thank you so much for your call. Okay. You raise a point that all of us would like answered there. Regarding the fibrecrete wall, the best way, says somebody who hasn't left their name, is to paint. The best way to paint is to brush the wall down and then paint with roof paint. One coat lasts forever. No worry about other side or undercoat.
I think they're lucky.
You think they're lucky?
Yeah. First of all, I mean, if it's a... We don't know whether the wall was previously painted or not. If it's a new wall, If it's a new wall, generally you need a primer, okay, unless they thinned the first coat out. Well, they only put one coat in, which means if they thinned it out, it's penetrated into the wall. It's not really giving coverage, you know, sort of surface coverage. So they've been lucky.
There we go then. Does one always use a primer?
Depends on the condition of the coating, on the substrate. So if the substrate is new, then generally yes. If the substrate is old, then the existing coating is chalking, then yes, you would. But there are cases, for example, inside where you just want to change the color and the coating is still good. You can just give it a clean and paint directly onto it.
A wipe down type clean.
Well, yeah, you would wipe it down. You could use a little bit of sugar soap or just a little bit of water with sunlight soap in. Clean it, make sure the soap is all off, and then you can coat just to get the grease and the grime off.
We've had a message in from Sue, and I think this might be our last one before we head to the news. So how do I get PVA paint off a raw pine cupboard?
A little bit of Alvo grease. It depends what sort of PVA. If it's a highly latexed PVA, it normally sits on top. It creates a sort of a plasticized skin, so you can pull it off. And if it's a sort of a cheaper PVA, generally that tends to soak into the pores a little bit more, and you require a little bit of sandpaper to get it out.
Wonderful stuff. We've got a quick chance to go to Di from Constantia, who has a solution to Louise's jig problem. Hi, Di.
Hi. It is a quick fix, and it's not 100% fixed, but it's better than turning things into dusters. Get a permanent marker in as close to the color as you possibly can. I've done this on navy blue and black t-shirts that have fallen foul of bleach, and it works quite well. Just blacken them and leave them. Do navy blue, and you could do the same with pink as well if you can find a pink permanent marker.
What an absolutely fantastic idea, Di.
Brilliant.
Di, thank you so much for that. You've ended our DIY on a real DIY, Di. Thank you so much. Thanks ever so much, Di.